kind of what helped me was even talking about it. So even when I was in the hospital, people would ask me to share my story, and I would share my story and found myself healing from sharing my story, even though it's information that I already know, but saying it out loud.
So cool.
Did change things, I found. And the more I talked about it, the more it was easy to understand what I'm going through at time.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career. This is conversation number 119, and I am absolutely excited that you're here with me for yet another episode. I hope you're having a great day. Thanks for your time for listening to this episode. I don't take it for granted. Remember, you can find this episode and all the other conversations and the contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast or on any of your favorite podcasting apps. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. The best way to help the podcast out is to share it and download episodes and check out all the other episodes. There are some incredible guests. Today, my guest is Keontae Story. He is a Marine vet. He unfortunately was injured in Afghanistan when an IED went off and he lost his right leg below the knee. We talk about his unplanned military transition and, of course, due to his circumstances that he endured, what was his mindset through that and how did he plan despite the plans going completely south? We talk about sharing your own story with intention, which we've talked about before on the podcast. However, we talk about how if you share your story over and over again, even saying it out loud to yourself, how you can see it in a new light and why that is important. And we also talk about how he climbed out of depression. And we also talk about how he got out of the depression that he had after his injury and what he did to overcome that and how he's helping other people do that as well. So it was a full conversation full of amazing content, amazing pointers, stories, just tons of help to help you, the listener. It helped me, it helped him, and it was just a lot of good advice to just take your mind from maybe it's in a bad place and take it to a better place. And these are some steps that you can hear through his story. So as I said, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed as much as we did. Without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. Create your career.
Thank you for having me, Christoph.
Yeah, it's such a blast. I'm always so excited and so humbled and just always ready to rock when these podcast episodes come, because I know like everybody's got a lot of things going on and I'm just always so excited to learn. Like, I know a little bit and sometimes I know a lot about my guests, but I love the opportunity to learn even more about my guests. And then what I really like about doing the podcast episodes is sharing your story, sharing everybody else's story with people that don't know it yet. Before we get into the rest of the episode, could you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Obviously my name is Keontae Story, born and raised in Stockton, California. I'm 31 years old now. And grew up with an interesting childhood, which eventually put me into foster care around the age of 10 or what have you. And then joined the Marine Corps right out of high school at the age of 18. From there, became an infantryman 0311 and was stationed at 29 Palms, California, where I did two deployments with their battalion of submarines and got injured in Afghanistan in 2010 via an IED. Now I live here in San Diego. In short, that IED severed my right leg below the knee when I was injured in Afghanistan. So I got injured and now I live here in San Diego where I did all my recovery and just ended up staying here.
Okay. So why did you pick the Marines? I'm curious.
I chose the Marine Corps secondary. Initially, I was going to join the Army, so I knew I was going to join the military. But my friend actually introduced me to the Marine Corps because he was initially getting ready to join. and found himself not liking the Army to a degree.
Okay.
For whatever reason. But anyways, he joined the Marine Corps, but he told me about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'll go check them out, and went to the recruiting office. And once I was there, I was just like, oh yeah, I want to be a Marine. Like, it was just like set in stone from that point. Yeah. I didn't even think I knew what the Marine Corps was.
Yeah.
Like their history, background, nothing. Yeah.
That's how it goes, though. You know, like, I was in the Navy for a little while as well, and I had no idea what I was getting into. I'm not even, if somebody asked me that question, like, if on the inverse, like, I wouldn't really know why specifically I picked the Navy as opposed to another branch, but it just kind of, it falls into it, and you figure out a lot more, and you're like, oh, so this is what this is about, you know?
Yeah.
But so why did you pick San Diego? So you said you were in the Marines, you had the injury, you lost your right leg under the knee, and you went to San Diego. Is that because there was the treatment was there in San Diego?
Yes. Where I did all my recovery, physical therapy, all those types of recovery process. I did them all here in San Diego, and it was just a lovely place. Going back home didn't really make much sense, even though my family's there.
Sure.
But the support's not there. All the support that I created and gained living here in San Diego, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
So I even talked to my mom. I was like, should I move back up there? And she's like, try to make it out there somehow, some way.
Yeah.
So going home was like the last option.
Yeah, that support is so important. So I can like easily see why you picked San Diego. I was there for a little bit in the Navy as well, and I loved it. Loved the outdoors there. It was gorgeous, and the weather was good. So having all of that, you know, and of course the support system, it helps a lot.
Yeah.
So, no, that's incredible that you were able to get that, and you felt comfortable enough with the support. Like, I imagine that support system that you just described to us was just such a huge part of the physical aspect and the mental aspect. Would you agree?
I do agree. Even when I thought about leaving San Diego, for the most part, I decided to stay here. Even to this point, mostly because of the people that I know.
Yeah, it's so special.
That live here. And so if I move somewhere else, then, you know, I'd have to create a whole new support network and figure out how to get prosthetic care or VA care or wherever I decide to go.
Yeah.
So unless all my friends move, then I guess I'd move too.
That's awesome that you're able to do that. Like I said, I think that's really important for anyone. It's, you know, it's not a one man army. You can't do it alone. And having that support system is so crucial to one's success and just your mental health, honestly. And I know, like, I've seen some videos and some posts about some of the mindset that you were in post injury. And I know you even mentioned that you kind of slowly started falling into a little bit of depression. So can you walk us through the initial stages, like the aftermath of your mindset, and what was able to get you out of that mindset and into the mindset that you are today? Like, what helped you after that?
Yeah. So at Balboa Hospital, where I did all my recovery, I found myself, you know, as an outpatient, going to my appointments on my own. And before that, when I was inpatient, kind of in the hospital, still with the cast around my residual limb, I didn't really worry so much about life or question life to that degree. I mostly only cared about, you know, my friends that were still there, still fighting, because our deployment wasn't over yet.
Yeah.
So once I was moved to that outpatient process where now I'm all on my own, you know, my mom's not necessarily there anymore. I'm in a wheelchair getting to my appointments, and that's kind of where life starts to like come at me like full force, like, where's my life going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to, like, what's my next move? And it hit me in different kind of waves, to where at first it was just like, okay, I can get through this. And then all of a sudden I was depressed and, you know, questioning life, you know, questioning God. It became pretty nasty for a certain point where, you know, suicidal thoughts crossed my mind. And, you know, I started to abuse my pain meds. And granted, I did make friends in the hospital, but I don't think a lot of us really talked about our injuries per se, more so like, what are you doing? What are, you know, like, what's, you know, what was life, you know, during your deployment or what have you?
Yeah.
But it was very little, I feel, conversations that were in the moment or in the present. So, you know, dealing with that on my own, you know, I started to abuse my pain meds. to a point where I wasn't even in pain anymore. It was just kind of helping me get through.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I'm staying up at night questioning, you know, everything about life, you know, questioning God. And eventually got to a point where with all these questions I'm asking, you know, God or even to myself, trying to figure out who I am now, like mm-hmm. who is Keontae's story. And I can tell myself I'm this Marine, but I'm no longer doing what I've been trained to do anymore. So I'm like, oh, then I'm just a normal person, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Who was I, you know, before the Marine Corps? I was I think I was this guy, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So, eventually it gets to a point where I wake up, I, you know, quit my meds cold turkey, you know, dump everything down the toilet.
Wow.
And, you know, even though I'm questioning God, I kind of have this question of what makes me happy.
Sure.
And I started eventually ask myself these questions till it hits a point where maybe I'm thinking too broad of a question. Like, and then I kind of just break it down. I can't remember exactly that question, but I think it still fell along the lines of simply like, what makes me happy? And I kept telling myself, well, I want to, you know, be active. I want to go out and do things. And before this moment, you know, I kind of like to describe it as putting on a mask when I would go to out of my room to my appointments, because, you know, everyone knows me as this, you know, happy, I wouldn't say go lucky,
yeah.
but positive attitude kind of guy. But, you know, in my room, I'm like dealing with my own demons and, you know, yeah. ready to bang my head against the wall. So it's, so I like to describe it as putting on the mask. So eventually leave my room. You know, not saying I haven't left my room, but eventually like get, yeah. like decide like, hey, I want to get out of my room now. Find something that kind of goes with what I feel like doing, and found myself volunteering and putting in for these paralympic camps that take me, I think the first one took me to, can't remember the city right now, but it went took me to the Endeavor Games, Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Took me to the Endeavor Games where I did my first, you know, outdoor event sprinting, and I think I did swimming as well. I could be wrong, but I didn't even have a, you know, a running blade yet at this time. I was still on my everyday walking leg, and doing this sprint, this 100-meter sprint. You know, one of the U.S. Paralympic coaches or Paralympic staff approaches me and say, "Hey, do you have a running blade?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Well, I think you have potential." So I go back and find out that my agility coach, which is what I need to get my running blade, that coach is actually a 2-time gold Olympic athlete.
Oh wow!
In track.
That's
so cool. He ends up being my coach. Yeah.
Oh wow. Dang.
And then yeah, and so I keep kind of going along this process of doing anything outdoors. Snowboarding was my true, I felt true passion. I still think it is.
Yeah, I love snowboarding.
But it's hard to, you know, yeah, when you live out here in San Diego, it's kind of difficult. So
sure.
I already had a coach, so I decided to stay here and pursue sprinting for 4 or 5 years while working full time, and eventually decided that I wanted to go to school, which is what I'm doing now.
Okay. Yeah. That was, thank you for sharing that with us. First of all,
yeah.
That's
no problem.
Well, cause like one of the things that can be really hard is you, once you have those thoughts and you're alone, especially like you said, you have the mask and like, you don't always want everybody to see how you're feeling on the inside, of course, cause it's a lot easier to just not talk about it sometimes. And I'm just speaking from like my own personal experience. So you put on that mask or whatever you want to call it. And then, but like when you're alone, it's like kind of like when you lay your head down at night and you don't have like the TV in front of you, you don't have like everybody you're talking to, and you're just like sitting there and you're alone in your thoughts and your mind just goes to the craziest places. And you know, I think
it does.
a lot of us, regardless of our situations and the things that we've experienced in our life, have felt some sort of that and can relate to what you just told us in on some level. And of course, since we all experience things differently, what I love about what you did say is that you didn't succumb to that, right? You went out, you know, you said you got out of the room finally, which I know what you mean by that, but you got out and, you know, you actually made like a conscious effort to combat that and do something about it, even though you didn't really know what to do about it at first. But I think like getting out there, and again, like the physicality aspect of it, obviously, like, it pulls the mental aspect out of it, like, with you, you know?
Yeah. So being active ended up being my recovery for the most part. Because, wow. I mean, it kind of adds on to physical therapy and mental health, mm-hmm. which were, you know, both separate entities that I was going to. But they ended up being, like, the same. I ended up, like, making them work together.
Yeah.
To where it ended up being what I even do today. Okay. So it's never been just like it stopped because I got out of the hospital. It was like something I kept doing, you know, each and every day, trying to be better for myself, mm-hmm. which was more physically, but also like even for others. And I felt I couldn't help anyone when I'm going through my own mental struggles, but I'm there for people. But, you know, like you don't really you're not always in the right frame of mind. And then you have your down days or what have you. So,
yeah. Well, that helps too, probably. I know one of the reasons I do this podcast, for example, is it helps me. Like, yeah, somebody's listening to this right now, but at the same time, like, as we're recording this live right now between you and I, just talking about this, talking about these ideas and the mental health aspect and, like, what helped you, like, it helps. I swear it helps me. Like, I describe it always as my verbal journal. So I'm not like writing something in a journal, but I'm able to say it out loud, and I'm able to share that with you, the guest. And then I'm able to, you know, share that later. And just, when you say things out loud, it is a lot different than just keeping it in your head. So I always encourage people to talk about it, even with yourself, write it down. And then when you get comfortable enough or not, you might have to wait until you're comfortable, but when you get comfortable enough, or force it to go talk to somebody. And I say force it because, you know, sometimes we get stuck in that comfortability and you never actually make that leap to go out there. But it's cool how you said, like, you had that synergy between the mental health and your physical health, and you saw, like, how it was connected and how much you benefited from it. But I will say another thing that I strive to do with this podcast, and everybody knows if you're a repeat listener, is that I don't just like having people on here that are awesome, that are crushing it and that faced adversity. Like, I like having people on there that do all of those things, but I like people that do things that you just said to us, and that's you fixed yourself and you worked on yourself and you continue to do that, but you're helping other people as well. And that's what I always try to, you know, show other people. And then so all of these things in totality that we just described in those last couple of minutes, only they help ourselves and they help other people. And that's one of the reasons I really wanted you on here. So I appreciate you sharing all that.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that's kind of what helped me was even talking about it. So even when I was in the hospital, I had to, I wouldn't say I'm like the greatest speaker, but you know, people would ask me to share my story, and I would share my story and found myself healing from sharing my story, even though it's information that I already know, but saying it out loud
so cool
did change things. I found, and the more I talked about it, the more it was easy to understand what I'm going through at times.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I've always
I feel like every time is different. It's not, at least for me personally, it's not always the same experience. So, you know, even when you asked me, I was like, oh, I would love to, you know, speak. And you can catch me at a good time where I can be speaking and then find something new to talk about and be like, oh, wow, I've never even came across that thought process. You just asked the right question. But, you know, there's also times where it's just like, oh, you know, this is where I'm at in life. But I definitely like that how you said, you know, saying it out loud. Because even when I went through therapy, that was the biggest takeaway that I found going through therapy, was that, at least with my therapist, was that simply I knew the answers, but saying it out loud changed my entire view on what I was already thinking. Hmm. So it wasn't anything new that she gave me. It was more saying it out loud. I found more helpful because it told me, at least for me, that I already knew that I needed to do something. It was the simple fact that I was saying it in my head, but now saying it out loud, it was like, oh, I really need to do something. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. And I'm sure maybe somebody knows why for them, like why that works. I don't necessarily know why it works for me or why it worked for you. But I think when you, I think there's a lot of different things. I think one, you're saying it out loud. So you're hearing somebody say it. You're literally hearing words. And then even more so, the reason I love recording my podcast is because, like, I'm a one-man band. I edit everything myself. So I go back through and I'll listen to this episode and I'll hear my voice. You know, I'll hear my tone in my voice. I'll hear any anger, frustration, any of those emotions that we discussed already. That's why I always recommend, like, I'll even tell people, like, pull out your iPhone, go on voice recording, and start a daily journal on there. And then it's easy. You don't have to buy a pen and pad. You already have your phone. You could write it on that. And then you get to, and then like, how cool is that? Cause like, now you get to hear your emotions. So like, I think that's a little bit of the answer, is like, you say it out loud and you're acknowledging it. It's like, if you have a goal or a dream, a hope or something, like, say it out loud or write it down, and then, you know, like, now it's real and you have to get after it. Yeah. So that's just my answer, and maybe it's different for everybody, but I think that's maybe a little bit of yours as well. Maybe.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it is different for everyone. And I think how we tackle it and process it is also different. So even now, sharing this information could come across as new information for someone listening. So
I hope so.
Yeah, same here. I think everyone processes everything differently and in their own time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel pressure to some degree that they're like, oh, I need to do something about what's ever happening, but they're not ready. And I think that, and I say that, like, maybe friends or girlfriends or wives or have you might find their significant other or vice versa struggling with something, and they're just not ready to deal with it. And I think sometimes we have to just be patient with them and kind of maybe try a new angle at times to see if we can help others in that fashion.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make, and I'm glad you built on what I said and what you've said earlier, so we just keep on building on each other, and it's cool that to have that synergy, and that's why I love these things. But yeah, being patient is a huge thing, not only being patient with yourself and your recovery, but like, on the inverse, if you are somebody supporting somebody else, be patient with them, because like you said, you may be ready, and you may be like, oh my gosh, like, it's been forever or whatever, but like, they're clearly not ready, you know, and you gotta like, try different angles, or you just don't give up, right? Don't give up. So, and you said healing by sharing your story a little bit earlier as well. And I know exactly that's what helps. And I had like an episode in here. I can't remember what number it is. It's a long time ago, but I shared a little bit more about my story. Like, specifically, it was just me in the episode, and I felt a lot better after it. So again, this is like kind of all tying together, like the things we're saying, and that was on my timeline. It took like 8 years for me to like record that episode, you know, so it's just like things like that. So, but sharing the story is cool. And I think, because even though you've probably shared your story quite a few times or something like that, that I think like sometimes when you share your story, it's like when you watch an episode, like I've watched The Office, the series, like 10 times over the last 10 years, but like I'll watch an episode and I'm like, oh my God, I've never caught that before. You know, like, how have I not caught that before? So I joke around and say that, 'cause like sometimes you'll tell your own story and you'll be like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about it in that light. So that's why I like the repetition of that, you know?
Yeah. And that's the same thing that I discovered when speaking, was that when I'm speaking, sharing my story, information that I know, sharing with others, I'll, you know, hit a note or hit a point or hear a question that makes me think completely different about my story. It makes me think even further into my story in more detail. Because for the most part, sometimes I am just sharing my story kind of a service level baseline, and try to go deeper in some areas, but some questions or even sharing it, you find yourself in another realm where you're just like, oh wow, I've never thought of this. But now you're kind of in a point where you start sharing that with others, and you have to kind of remember that as you go backwards. At least for me, that's what that's happened to me a few times, quite a few times.
That's cool.
When sharing my story. So that's another factor of why I enjoy sharing my story, to help others, but also I find that it helps me.
Yeah, absolutely. And even furthermore, talking about helping others, you mentioned you wanted to be a physical therapist, and that's what you're going to school for right now?
Yes, I'm in school right now. Kinesiology, hopefully transferring to San Diego State. I just submitted my application.
Awesome.
So we'll see, hopefully next fall. And then I want to get into their athletic trainer program. Okay. And I just want to use that as a stepping stone to get to physical therapy down the road.
Yeah, but like, how cool is that? You know, I think it's incredible to have endured everything that you've gone through, and then be like, I want to like further help back to do something like that. I mean, like, why? What was your decision for that?
For physical therapy, it was one, I had a good physical therapist, and she just watching her work and what she did, she just really seemed like she really enjoyed her job. And so I kind of like took that in the back burner, but overall kind of found myself being active and wanting to get more people to be active. So I found that physical therapy was the best approach to going to school for, even though I was also considering physician assistant, veterinarian. So I knew I wanted to be up there around like master's, doctorate level. So it won't be a short trip. So I had mentally prepared myself for getting back in school, but also there was a lot of hesitation because I did spend, you know, what was it, like six some odd years out of school, mostly working and telling myself I want to go to school, but not putting any energy in it and doing it. It was mostly because I was afraid. I was afraid of getting into school, and I always kept believing that I was not smart. So if I went to school and failed a class, then I would be more mad at myself because
self-fulfilling prophecy.
But I knew I'm not. I know that I'm not stupid. It was just kind of one of those things that you kept telling yourself because of my memory at the time was terrible. But school actually, I think I before school I hit a plateau and school kind of pushed me. So now I remember even more information that I'm usually even shocked on myself. I'm like, oh my God, I remember this information that I would have never remembered, you know, months back or a year back. So I kind of just kept going, wanting to like build on my memory, trying to keep proving to myself that I can remember this information. I'm smarter than I think I am. I'm going to get there. It's it's hard. And then, but then there are times where I get down myself and question, but then I, you know, I find something, you know, get back, being active, back in the gym, kind of release that stress. And then I'm back at it, you know? So I haven't stopped, you know, yet.
I love that. I love that. And like I kind of mentioned, like it was this self-fulfilling prophecy, and that's, it took years to catch myself saying even the smallest things negatively about myself, like, idiot or like stupid, like silly stuff like that. Or even, you know, like, like everybody knows I'm reading a lot right now, and I was never, I thought again, like it sounded just like when you said it, like I thought I was not a good reader, and now I'm reading so much, and I like hit my book goal for the year already. And I'm like, wow, like when you buckle down and say you want to do something, like you're probably not good at it because you are not committing the time to it. You're not actually trying at it. But you definitely can't talk negatively to yourself about that. You just need to buckle down and do it and get after it and do what you need to do to be successful. And you may and you probably won't be successful at first, but you will eventually have that success. And that's so you're absolutely right about that. I wanted to talk, so you support Homes for Our Troops. And I want to know, is that something you're still involved with? And if you are, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So Homes for Our Troops is an organization that helps veterans and the, really their families, but mostly the veterans themselves, getting a home that best suits their location. And it frees them from that financial burden to where they now have a home that's built for them, that's adaptable for them. Where they can raise their family and they don't have to stress about, you know, making those large payments, which is, I think for most people is the biggest stressor of like having your own property, having your own space, having your own sanctuary. And so that's what they provide. And I, you know, I go to my friend's home and it's a lovely home. Their places are beautiful. So I'm super excited to, you know, whenever I get mine. But before any of that, you know, there's usually a groundbreaking ceremony, and then there's one more ceremony which kind of opens the door to their home. But that to that extent, that's as far as I kind of know. And that I do so far. Once I started school, I've been kind of putting off a lot of things.
And it's not even like putting off. It's just like there's only so much time in the day, and you have to prioritize things. And like you said, if you're not able to help yourself properly, you're not able to help other people. So you're just reprioritizing that. I'm sure you'll come back around and work in that and be more involved in it. And you're obviously helping out tons of people along that whole entire way. So before we get out of here today, I did want to know, like I do focus on careers a lot. It's the Christoph Lewis podcast, Create Your Career. And so my last question that I wanted to ask you is, we kind of talked about your career, you know, how you got out of the military, of course, but it was a little bit forceful for obvious reasons. Like, you didn't like plan, like, you weren't like, oh, I'm going to retire and then now I'm retired. But like, even with the injury and even with everything we discussed today, were you able to apply any kind of plan, and were you able to set up any kind of job for yourself? Like, how was that? I know your transition is a little bit different than most getting out of the military.
No, actually, like, once I got injured, I didn't necessarily have a plan.
Yeah.
But I knew, at least I my initial thought was my injury wasn't going to allow me to stay in the field that I was doing, which was infantry. So I committed to the idea that, okay, I'm going to more likely get out of the military. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
With infantry, you're a glorified janitor who does everything, you know? But it was also, I felt my responsibility. So even when I realized that, I started to do some volunteer, which where I got to intern at a vet tech facility here in San Diego on Miramar base, and with the FBI was also another intern.
Okay.
So I was doing this while doing my recovery. And then I was actually going to school at the hospital on top of these things, because I was just like, I kind of needed to do something to prepare for getting out. So long story short, I get out, but I found myself literally a month after I was discharged working for San Diego FBI.
Oh, okay.
Which was crazy, but that was along those lines of where I would talk to my mom and was like, should I move back? And she's like, well, somehow make a way out there. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I can't live out here on disability alone, because it's pretty pricey to live here. But working, absolutely. And then finding different means of acquiring money by training full time as an athlete is another way of, like, there's a stipend for that.
Yeah.
You know, training for the Paralympics. So, and then working, really, and then your disability on top of that. But outside of that, I mean, those were my only ideas and plans I ever had and kind of kept them going.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And I think people may be wondering, like, well, why the hell would you ask him that question? Like, obviously he didn't plan to be injured and get out of the military. But why I ask that question is because, despite the adversity, you still were able to call an audible and you were still able to, like, pursue something, and you didn't give up, like you were saying. And I always talk about, like, planning is one of the most important things I do in my life to ensure success. But obviously things don't always go to plan, so you have to be able to call that audible and figure things out. So I am very glad that you shared that with us, that you're able to do that, that you're able to pull the audible, and it's so cool that you're working with them and then got a job with them and were able to head out that way. So I appreciate you sharing that transition with us. So before we get out of here today, where can everybody find you? Instagram or website or anything like that?
Instagram is where I'm most active now. I once had a website, but that kind of fell through, so I can leave that alone for now. So Instagram is where I do most of my posting or most of communication with anyone outside of my email, which is just my name at gmail.
Okay. And what is your Instagram handle?
Keontae Story.
All right.
I think that's it.
No worries. So if you guys are interested, it is in the show notes and you'll be able to find him that way if you want to get a hold of him or follow him on Instagram, because there's a lot of stuff going on over there. All right, Keontae, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your story again, hopefully a little bit in a new light like we talked about. I had a really good time, and I hope you did too, and have a great rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you for having me again, and it was an awesome time talking to you and getting to know you as well as sharing my story.